see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
I don't feel so good.
You do feel hot. DayQuil Kids will take care of that fever.
What about my cough?
DayQuil Kids has that covered.
Will it make my throat feel better?
Yes, that too.
But will it taste good?
Yep, DayQuil Kids comes in your favorite flavor.
Purple?
Well, yes, it's grape.
Try new DayQuil Kids Plus Fever, the daytime coughing, aching, sore throat fever just for kids medicine. Safe for kids 6 plus. Use as directed.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Undecided voters could end up deciding the election in battleground states. Vice President Kamala Harris reaching out to Republicans and independents at a town hall in Pennsylvania last night. But some say they wanted more details about her policies. ABC's Karen Travers has more.
Now, you know, the campaign and Harris herself said last night, go to my website. I've got all those details there. I've laid out my policy proposals, but they want to hear her talking about this at her events.
Harris, before leaving for Georgia today, telling reporters it's her priority to pass the bipartisan security border bill. Former President Donald Trump is campaigning today in Arizona and Nevada. Secretary of State Antony Blinken wrapping up meetings in the Middle East and says there is support to renew talks to end the war in Gaza and release hostages. Still unknown if Hamas will join. Jobless claims fell last week, defying projections and showing a resilient labor market. Mortgage rates up again. A 30-year loan, a 6.54%. This is ABC News. Lithium batteries power everything from smartphones to EVs. Now the U.S. may be able to break its foreign dependence on this abundant mineral.
The U.S. is the source of only about 1% of the world's commercial lithium. But a company called Standard Lithium is launching a $1.5 billion project in southwest Arkansas.
We will be producing over 22,000 tons of lithium carbonate.
Each year, says CEO David Park. Standard and a company called Equinor have landed a $225 million grant from the Department of Energy, which hopes to reduce U.S. dependence on foreign lithium. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A radio station in Krakow, Poland has replaced its journalists and relaunched with AI-generated presenters. The station says the aim is to reach younger listeners. A journalist who recently hosted a show on the radio station published an open letter protesting the move, which more than 15,000 people have now signed. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Again Fling's. Try Again Fling's with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ahlen. Many people are preparing their properties for the upcoming deer season, and DNR wildfire prevention specialist Catherine Cooley says they're seeing an uptick in fires caused by people operating power equipment.
I have an uptick in the number of equipment fires right now, and these are causing some sparks. They're happening kind of in more remote areas, and they're kind of sneaking around, and we're not getting to them because we don't know that they're happening. and then they kind of evolve into larger fires.
There are steps people can take to lessen the risks.
We typically have lesser winds and higher humidity in the morning or late in the evening. So, you know, if you could try to avoid operating equipment in the peak of that fire day, so kind of that 1 to 4 o'clock is really when we really see the winds really gusting and that humidity kind of bottom out, you know, have a fire extinguisher handy or water source.
For the most current fire danger situation, search Wisburn on the DNR homepage. A human case of West Nile virus in western Wisconsin. Public health officials say the case was confirmed in Eau Claire County. It's the county's only case so far this year. It'll likely remain the only one as mosquito season winds down. West Nile is transmitted by mosquito bites and can be dangerous to people with weakened immune systems or other complications. Saturday is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. Attorney General Josh Call says take-back events are happening all across the state.
In Wisconsin, we're really fortunate to have a great partnership among DOJ, our State Department of Health Services, county health departments across the state, and local law enforcement agencies. This is a convenient way for Wisconsinites to safely dispose of unused and unwanted medications and help keep our communities safe.
Visit the Department of Health Services website at dhs.wisconsin.gov for more information. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Winds whipping out of the south today are shoving us to highs in the low 60s. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a cold front approaches, bringing widespread rain of around a quarter of an inch. It'll push in this evening, but be gone by tomorrow. More sunshine will return with cooler highs in the upper 50s. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Corn made it 4-4-4 and closed higher again. The soy complex was mixed. Beans mixed. Meal lower. Bean oil sharply higher. Wheat was steady to higher. Cotton was sharply lower. Live and feeder cattle sharply higher. And yesterday's buyers in lean hogs turned to the sell side of the market today.
Live with Porcine Cell Service via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots Ag. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Oh, now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, thank you so much,
Davis. I almost forgot the other half of that last line there.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I was waiting. You know, very patiently for it. I think our listeners would rather have porcine buy service, not sell service.
Perhaps.
Yes.
It would be nice.
It would be. It would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it raining there yet?
No. The wife and I were talking about it. I don't know. Yeah. Here's the thing. We're headed for a high of 85 degrees today. Headed for a high of 65 degrees tomorrow. With evening showers tonight in the forecast, I wonder if those showers shouldn't be preceded by the word thunder.
I think it probably should be. If you're going to see a 20-degree swing. Drop.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think it probably should be. And I think, you know, if they're to be trusted, if they're to be trusted, I think that some of the weather forecasters have said, hey, look out. There could be some hail out there. There could be some severe weather. It's not all that typical for late October, but heads up. Watch out for some thunderstorms. Okay?
Good to know.
65 degrees here.
That's what you got?
Yep, 65 degrees. But what they have done is they've actually lowered the chances for precipitation, but they've spread out the time in which it might fall. So it's we're going to have to wait until the last couple hours of the day to get any rain, but it still says it's supposed to rain. So
All right.
Yeah, we got Pete Meyer today.
Pete Meyer.
Got Pete Meyer. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We got Oliver coming up here in just a little bit, so let's get started.
Yeah, man. Well, export sales of wheat in the week ended October 17 totaled nearly 533,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Mexico topped the list of buyers, which also included South Korea, unknown, Taiwan, and Japan. It's been a slow climb from this week's low, but December soft red winter wheat posted a third consecutive higher close and the first close above 580 this week. Declining crop prospects in Australia and a setback in the value of the U.S. dollar index also helped support prices. December HRW wheat futures 1.5 cents higher today, 587. December SRW wheat up 3 cents to 581.5. And let me check my screen here. At last report, December spring wheat up 3.25 at 618.75. Unsettled on my screen, Chip.
You know, it has been several weeks now that December soft red winter wheat futures has been pivoting around the 580 level. We just can't break away from it.
No. Export sales of corn weekended October 17 easily tops trade expectations, totaled around 3.6 million metric tons. Mexico topped the list of buyers and accounted for nearly 1.7 million metric tons. Other buyers included unknown, Japan, Colombia, and South Korea. Sales of more than 580,000 metric tons were also reported for the 25-26 marketing year, Chip, and all of those bushels headed down south to Mexico. USDA this morning also announced the sale of nearly 228,000 metric tons of corn to Japan and 165,000 metric tons to unknown destinations. December corn touched resistance at the September 10 high of 424, closed higher for a fourth consecutive session, settled above 420 for the first time this week. December corn futures 2.5 cents higher, 421.5. March corn 3 cents higher, 435. July corn futures closed at 445.25, up 1.5 cents. Chip, I didn't take enough breath to cover all of these sales here on the corn side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 3.6 in that 3.6 million metric tons in the weekly export sales report is a heck of a number, and we got more daily export sales. And today is the day, Davis, that we are finding out just how many times we can get you to say unknown destinations.
Export sales of soybeans weekended October 17 totaled 2.15 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations, with China accounting for nearly 1.3 million metric tons of those sales. Mexico, unknown destinations. Japan and Taiwan also on that list of buyers. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 198,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to unknown destinations in the current marketing year. Malaysian palm oil futures jumped more than 3% overnight. That helped bean oil prices trade sharply higher today. Novi beans posted a low range open, rallied to a high of 10.12 1/4, and then pulled back to close below that opening range. November beans all totaled 1.25 cents lower on the day, 9.96 1/4. January beans unchanged at 10.05. March beans closed at 10.16. Chip, that one's up 0.25 cents.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Pete today about what's going on in this oil market. I'm sure that he's got some thoughts on it.
Cotton export sales totaled 169,700 running bales. That's up 57% from the four-week average. Be that as it may, December cotton today was 92 points lower, 71.59. On your livestocks, beef export sales, 16,700 metric tons, 11% ahead of the four-week average. The climb in heavyweight choice graded boxed beef values was challenged this morning, with the market down $1.05 in morning trade. But buyers came back to the cattle complex with Dease Live futures challenging resistance. December live cattle $1.37.5 higher at 189.25. Novi feeders $1.30 higher, 248.52.5. And pork export sales, 22,200 metric tons, down 45% from the four-week average. Some profit taking. Dease hogs $1.52.5 lower today, 78.65. Chip.
All right, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Well, 4 days up in a row in corn this week is looking pretty impressive, isn't it?
No, really impressive. We haven't seen 5 days since, I think, May, so we'll see what tomorrow brings. Options expiration might throw a little bit of a wrench in things. There's a lot of in-the-money calls right now, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the market maybe run out of a little bit of gas up here. And that's something you and I talked about last week, too, with options expiration this week in the soybean market, $10, and it being that big round number where a lot of the open interest is on the puts and calls and potentially being a magnet. And, you know, through this week's trade, it looks like that is a possibility of playing out. But, funny things can happen in the options expiration, so we'll see what tomorrow brings.
All right. All right, very good. Talk to me about cattle, man. Bumping up against the highs.
Yeah, every time it feels like it's getting a little bit tired. It finds some new momentum. It sounds like we've got potential cash firming up here late in the week. We've got cattle on feed tomorrow. Funds, you know, pretty resilient buying spree here recently. I'm still a little bit, you know, concerned when funds get this long, 88,000-90,000 contracts to the long side and the upper end of the risk range going back to May and July, that the higher velocity move and the risk is to the downside. Volatility relatively low in the cattle market right now, looking at the CME CVOL index. So if you are looking for downside protections, I think options are probably a pretty good way to put that floor underneath you and keep that upside open.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Hey, Oliver, I don't know if you know this or not or have heard anything on this. If you haven't, don't worry about it. But Nebraska plays Ohio State this weekend.
I got to buy. My team's got to buy this week.
Really? Oh, Iowa State's got to buy this week. I forgot
I'm
that you
came around.
I'm on the
bandwagon. I'm 100% dedicated to Iowa State.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Oliver. All right, that's Oliver Sloan. Blue Line Futures coming up next. We've got a long list of items that I want to get to with Pete Meyer, Muddy Boots Ag, here on AgriTalk. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations. So great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Want to get...
I'm Paul Hambleton, your choice for state senate. Public schools are the center of civic life in rural Wisconsin, where school sports are the talk of the town, achievements are celebrated, and marrying your high school sweetheart is still a thing. Sadly, school funding has been neglected for two decades. As a former special ed teacher, I know how important it is to reach kids early, and the need is increasing. Yet there has been little help for the high cost of special education. Restricted state funding hasn't even kept up with inflation, forcing districts to go to referendum to increase property taxes just to keep the doors open, as 120 districts are doing on November 5th. Folks, it's time to work together. I'll work together across the aisle in the legislature to fix our school funding system for rural Wisconsin and keep our promise to the future, because together we can do better. I'm Paul Hambleton, and I approve this ad, paid for by the committee to elect Paul Hambleton.
Ad Council.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Because see, here's the thing. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Stream of consciousness coming at you. It used to be, it was so easy for me to predict winners. I would just say the guys in the blue shirts. Blue shirt
right.
guys, that's my call.
Yeah.
It was usually a pretty,
right.
pretty good call. You know, safe.
Yeah.
Even in the World Series, I'm still right. The blue shirt guys are going to win. You know?
You think so? The Dodgers?
Then there's red.
Oh.
There's red. See?
Well,
the Chiefs are red, but so are the Cyclones.
Well, so are the Cyclones, but sometimes the Cyclones are just black.
Okay. Well, I could
with white
I could
numbers.
Go with that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe after this last week and that close call against UCF, I feel like maybe the black unis are starting to lose some of their mojo. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they should try blue.
Yeah. But, you know, we made it through October again, without losing a game because we've got a bye here at the in the last weekend. So.
Yeah, them boys are playing ball, though. You know,
I'm telling you.
Little squad
I'm telling
there.
You. Well, you know, we've got Oliver now.
You've made a convert of Oliver Sloan. Yeah, yes, you have.
Yeah. You can't overlook that very, very important piece of information.
Let's see if we can get all Meyer, right. too. Let's get yeah, Meyer on
let's
board,
see.
Too.
Peter Meyer, Muddy Boots Ag. Pete, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
What kind of drugs are you guys doing in that studio?
No, it's all good. Nothing illegal. It's all okay. Very much on the up all and right. up.
I'm doing great, Chip.
Here, Pete.
Yeah, obviously. I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for asking. I guess that you miss one crop tour after 17 in a row and you become persona non grata on the show, but that's all right. I'm happy to be back.
It's been a whole crop year since you and I have talked. What did you learn from this year's crop year?
I learned that the numbers were finalized in August and see you in January.
Yeah.
That's what I learned, right? I mean, there's
I think so.
You know, everybody, there's no story on the production side. None. Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to change at this point?
No. Well, okay, yeah. So the trend that we've been picking up here in conversations is that until yesterday with the guest analyst that we had on, but the trend was kind of, maybe we leaned a little bit too hard to the upside on this corn number. Maybe we leaned a little too hard to the upside on the bean number. The attitude was it needs to come down a bit, which you're telling me let's go sideways into the January number, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think we're going to get anything in November. Certainly December that never brings anything, but right. I mean – I have not seen anything that would suggest that it's going to change much. I mean, yeah, you know, the moisture content of a lot of this stuff is bad. That's bad for the producer, right? I mean, you know, I saw some 6-7% crops being harvested in Iowa 2 weeks ago. You know, but outside of that, the yields, no, I just don't see it. And I guess, you know, when we look at it, and we look at some of the economics of it, you know, I wonder what's going to happen in January, right? I mean, what's going to happen in January or February, I should say, when the outlook form comes out? I mean, what are you thinking on yield?
For
next year?
The trend line? Well, 183.
All right. So I think they're well north of 185. In January. Ooh. and I also think they post 95 million acres given the economics, and there you have a 16 billion bushel crop. So why do I think that way? Let's look at what's happened in the spreads. All right, well, the spreads in general, really, I mean, yeah, we've seen explosive upside, but like if you look at the Dece July, let's say, which is the darling, right? Everybody, your carry's gone. Your carry went from 35, 36 cents to today closing at 24. What did Dece corn do in the meantime? It rallied those 12 cents. If you go back, and what did July corn do since the end of September? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
So I think they're a little bit, you know, what we're seeing now is a little bit of demand in the front. I think that the basis levels probably got a little bit spooked, probably went a little bit too far. I still believe everything below $4 is noise. I believe everything above 430 is noise, and we're kind of stuck in this hole. Beans, but anyway, back to the Dece down to 22 cents today. So it actually traded down to the low was 20 and a quarter. Nobody wants to make any bets on getting long next year's crop. Why? Well, I mean, we planted 94.7 last year, so 95 is not that big of a stretch. Okay, our yield is up 6 to 183. I mean, I think they're going to be north of 185. And nobody's willing to take any step into next year's crop. And you know, all the action is kind of in the front.
Okay, so this year's the financial situation out there stinks for row crop producers. So the row crop guys are going to be tight on money. The input costs haven't come down that much.
Right.
Does that not matter?
Nope. You're going to be stuck in this doldrum for 2 or 3 years here.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
And it's because beans aren't going to compete, right?
Oh my God. Beans have a dollar downside here, Chip.
Yeah.
I mean, but what does that tell you, right? Let's say beans do have a dollar downside. We go down to 880. Where does that put your corn? 385. It's noise. It's noise at that point, right? I mean, we've kind of reached fair value here for these crops. $10 and $4, a 2.5 multiplier. Maybe it's $10 and 410 or 415. Here we are. I mean, to me, I very much worry about the bean price. And the bean price will drag the corn price with it, but you know, what are we going to do with the beans? I don't really know what we're going to do with the beans.
Well,
I don't know. And that's okay. And then when you look at the economics for next year, Chip, I don't know many guys that can granted, corn's a loser as well, but beans are a much, much bigger loser. And I think that's why I very much am concerned about next year's acreage. As I said, you know, everybody says, well, not everybody, but you know, 95 million seems like a huge number. We did 94.7 last year.
Right.
So we have clients that are, you know, already moving acres to corn. It worries me. I mean, we need a big reset. To your point about the inputs not going down. I mean, I get asked this question all the time, and I mean, I don't have an answer for it. I really don't. You know, at the end of the day,
there's got to be an adjustment at some point.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. But yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay. I was watching CNBC yesterday, and Paul Tudor Jones says all roads lead to inflation. If that's right, commodities are underpriced, and he's long commodities. Okay, so he's talking about it, but he's long more gold and Bitcoin and that sort of stuff. But if all roads lead to inflation, I mean, are we really going to get a setback here? It's a tough time. It's a tough time. You know, Farm Journal has that economist poll, and I just filled it out, and it's hard to figure out those numbers. I mean, you see the revenue just continue to go down. Now, I'm sure at some point you're going to want to talk about whoever gets elected and how that all works. But you know, are we going to be stuck again with handouts? We know how the handouts worked last time. The farmers needed the money. I totally get that. Farmers need money now. But I can make the argument that the market facilitation program followed by PPP, which was totally different, I totally get it, has caught, you know, was a major factor in the farm economy being down as low as it did. Because what happened was everybody who serviced the farm economy, whether it was John Deere or CF Industries or whoever, or to see that they saw the money flowing in and they said, we want our piece of the pie. Hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work. It's a tough cycle. It's a tough cycle, Chip.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then when you look at what's happening with the interest rates and how that's going to play a part, the Fed has lowered the interest rates, but the real interest rates have decided that it's time to go back up based off some of this economic data.
100%, right? 100%. Yep. What did you just send me? Oh, 20. Yeah, no, last year, when I said last year, I meant 2023 was 94.6.
Okay.
Yep, you're right.
Just wanted to make sure.
That's what I meant. No, but you know how that rotation works, right? I mean, we both know how this rotation works, right? 94.6 was, I meant last year because to me, we're still harvesting the 24 crop. Yeah, no, I appreciate
that. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. I just wanted to make sure that we were talking about the same numbers.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Yep. Yep, 90.7 million planted for the 2024 year, 94.6. And your point is well taken, Pete. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. Your point is well taken. Yep, 95 is not that far from history. And we've done it very recently. So, okay, we are talking to Pete Meyer, Muddy Boots Ag. Pete, we got to talk about Indonesia and the plans to get to B40, B50. That's the number one thing that listeners wanted me to ask you about. We'll do it next.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Hey, let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. December HRW wheat futures 1.5 cents higher at 587. December SRW wheat up 3 cents to 581.5. December corn futures were 2.5 cents higher at 421.5. March corn up 3 cents to 435. November soybean futures were 1.25 cents lower at 996.25. January beans dead steady at 10.05. December cotton today was 92 points lower at 71.59. On your livestocks, December live cattle $1.37.5 higher at 189.25. November feeders $1.30 higher, 248.52.5. And December lean hogs $1.52.5 lower at 78.65. Hey, you can get more market news every single market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Winds whipping out of the south today are shoving us to highs in the low 60s. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a cold front approaches, bringing widespread rain of around 1/4 inch. It'll push in this evening, but be gone by tomorrow. More sunshine will return with cooler highs in the upper 50s. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Pete Meyer, Muddy Boots Ag, is generating some conversation out there. There's no doubt about it. This from a listener, Pete. In order to get that reset, doesn't somebody along the value chain have to volunteer to take a financial hit to get it started? Who wants to do that? So the free market makes the producer do it with lower crop prices. I'd love to see the fertilizer guys take the hit.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Everybody's publicly owned, right? Everybody's at the beholden of the shareholder. As soon as you take the hit, your share becomes out of vogue, so to speak. Nobody's going to do that. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, if taming inflation is extremely hard, right?
Yes.
I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I really believe that, you know, I mean, Deere was kind of the first domino to fall there when they said, you know, when they signed that new contract with the UAW. I mean, I don't blame the union. Yeah. I'm not a union guy, but I don't blame the union. They saw all the money flowing in and said, oh, we want our share. And then guess what happens after that, right? Chrysler, Stellantis has the same contract. Ford has the same contract. Yeah. Case IH has the same contract. GM has the same contract. It's, you know, yeah. Who's going to take a wage cut? Except for your sidekick there. We can cut his wages, but
that's okay. Well, yeah, and the market forces a wage cut on farmers. Then
it's awful. It's awful.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, so what are the prospects moving forward? If Trump gets elected, is Trump? I'm probably speaking out of your sequence here, but if Trump gets elected,
go ahead.
You know, I've already heard. Oh well, he's going to make farmers whole again. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't really know. I mean, I know that there's money out there that he can use. I know that the program he used the last time was allowed to expire by the Biden administration. But I mean, this is, you know, this is a critical election for everybody. And, you know, I mean, Trump has already gone on the record to say that the Inflation Reduction Act, which includes sustainable aviation fuel, and I know you want to talk about renewable fuels here in a minute, he said it's just dead on arrival. He's going to take all that money and he's going to put it into infrastructure, bridges, roads, whatever. Yeah, we need money for infrastructure in this country, right? Just talk to those people, those poor people in Minnesota when that bridge collapsed. We hear this all the time. But all of a sudden, that's gone? I mean, 100% tariffs to China? Okay. You know, why do you think, I mean, all this stuff now talking about Mexico with John Deere bringing, since they moved the jobs to Mexico, bringing parts back, going to put a 100% tariff on that? Why do you think Mexico's buying this corn ahead of time? They don't want to get caught in this crossfire. Nobody wants to get caught in this crossfire. It's a problem. And if he all of a sudden opens the coffers again, that's not a step forward. I realize it'll be a short-term benefit, but it's a step backward for the farm economy. In my heart of hearts, I believe it. I mean, Chip, we have to find more demand for this stuff and not put a Band-Aid on it and all of a sudden decide that you know, handouts or whatever. I hate to use the term handouts because farmers are very hardworking people. I totally, everybody in the ag industry is a hardworking person. I never met a slouch in my life in the ag business, okay? But the fact of the matter is that the long-term ramifications of this, yeah, it's trouble. So,
okay.
You know, who gets
what if consumers do demand it? What if what we have been told is accurate and consumers do demand fuel with a smaller carbon footprint, meat with a smaller carbon footprint, everything with a smaller carbon footprint? What if consumers do you think that's accurate? Will consumers demand it?
Oh, I absolutely think it's accurate. I'm with you 1,000%. I mean, we saw that with Lufthansa, the German flag carrier in Europe, right? They put a heavier sustainable aviation fuel content or percentage in their jet fuel pool. They raised everybody's ticket prices by, I think, like 60 or 70 euros. Nobody cares. I mean, we do work with consumer packaging good companies that are willing to pay farmers for their sustainable practices just so that they can write sustainable on their packaging. Because at the end of the day, the consumers are demanding this. Now, the consumer is also getting pinched by inflation. So where is that equilibrium point? Where do you get to the point where the consumer says, and it's mostly young consumers, right? I mean, You and I are old farts, generally speaking. I'm older than you, but yep. I mean, to me, yeah. But I get it. You see it all the time. The fact of the matter is that will the consumer continue to pay for it? Is the consumer willing to pay a farmer in Decatur, Illinois, for sustainable practices? We've seen so far that they are, and we're building a business around it, to be honest with you. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, if corn was at $7, nobody would care about this. Now corn's at $4. The farmer needs more money, the consumer is willing to pay him that more money. On the sustainable aviation fuel, you know what, Chip? We were promised these rules in March. We were promised them again in July. Now we're promised them again in December. Like a farm bill, it's probably Q1 of 2025.
Well, you know, somebody, I need to look back at my notes and find who said this. The thing about that is you can issue tax credits retroactively. You can't farm retroactively. If
1,000%.
We, you know, it's already too late for a lot of guys to get the guidance that is going to qualify their crops for 45Z.
But they don't have the money to do it either. Here's the problem, right? I mean, the fact that when the 40B stuff came out, and all of a sudden the Secretary of Agriculture said, well, we got a lot of pushback on that. Yeah, because you had three practices that were bundled: cover crops, less synthetic fertilizer, modified tilling. Well, all you had to do is walk down. I don't mean to pick on the Secretary of Agriculture, but all you had to do is walk down the hall to realize there's only 18 million acres of cover crops in this country. Why? Because it costs you $40 to $50 to plant a cover crop. Well, right. Guess what? If I can get $40 or $50 an acre from a consumer packaging goods company via a sustainably conscious consumer, then I can tell, then the farmer will do it to break even, because the farmer knows it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is that we're at a chicken and an egg situation, and it's very difficult. It's an extremely difficult. But you know, on 45Z, I mean, to my point, you know, we got to find more demand for this stuff. And you know, I realize that 45Z, the carbon pipeline, I don't even want to get involved in that, because eminent domain is just the most awful thing in the world. This country was, you know, our forefathers would be turning over in their graves. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that that's just, you know, a non-starter. But here we are.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want to talk about? What
else? Trying to figure it out. Okay. Talk to me about the B-40 and in Indonesia, plans to go to B-50. How much of an impact does that have on global veg oil and palm oil supplies?
Well, look at what palm oil's done, right? I mean, the good thing about this, Chip, is that the Chinese can't export palm oil to the U.S. and fake it as used cooking oil, which is what we've seen. They've contaminated it. But now palm oil has kind of priced itself out of that market. So maybe there is something in there. Maybe there is, you know, I mean, but bean oil just doesn't seem to move. But at the end of the day, I mean, we still only have three states with the low carbon fuel standard: California, Washington, and Oregon, regarding renewable diesel. I mean, you know, I get it that some of these states can't afford it because it costs money to do this. It's the same thing with sustainable aviation fuel, right? It takes 5 gallons of ethanol to make 3 gallons of sustainable aviation fuel. It's expensive.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, so the B-40 to B-50, I mean, yeah, you're going to take some palm oil out. Nobody's importing palm oil into the U.S. because of the socioeconomic issues attached to it.
Right.
So that's not a bad thing. Will it reduce the amount of oil that's out there? Well, I don't know. Harvesting beans at 6% is probably going to reduce quite a bit of the oil content in some of these in this 2024 crop too. But you know, yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, again, don't want to pick on anybody. But to your point about the tax credit, okay, 40B, who's getting paid tax credit? Yeah, that sustainable aviation fuel producer in Georgia who's importing sugar-based ethanol from Brazil. They're getting the tax credit. What, nobody thought about the fact that we should close the borders for any – give a tax credit to anything that gets imported? Nobody thought about that ahead of time?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, but tallow. Okay. You know, you
somebody,
talk about cattle
somebody's
prices.
Adding ahead, to this. A listener is adding to this, and what they want to know is, will it – I'm trying to rephrase it here just a little bit. Will it, in a backwards way, end the imports of used cooking oil, the UCO? Okay.
Yeah. No, it has to, because palm oil is the basis of that. And look, it's conjecture on my part. But, I mean, palm oil is so cheap, as I said earlier, given the socioeconomic issues. It takes basically nothing to contaminate a cargo of palm oil and try to sell it as used cooking oil. Not a Department of Justice, the EPA. They're all catching wise of that. Will it stop some of that? Yeah, it will stop it.
Okay, we got a minute left. Give the guys what you think they need to hear going into the end of the year.
Wow. I think we gave them a lot to chew on. Some of them are probably not very happy with me, but I understand that. I mean, I just don't see here's what I'll say. I think the production story is done. I think we probably have to at this point, even as a U.S. producer, so I can't say we, but the U.S. producer has to pay attention to South American seasonalities more when making marketing plans than North American seasonalities. Why is that? Because the export market has been lost in soybeans. The export market this year in corn, okay, we're going to hold our own given we have a big crop. But I really think that when you start to look at the export market, that demand, really it depends on what goes on in South America.
You know, Pete, we always used to give Brazil one of the world's best selling opportunities with a spring rally in May.
Right.
And now that the production has flipped, maybe we start to see that seasonal flip as well. Pete, you give us so much to think about, my man. Thank you so much.
God bless, Chip. See you later, bud. Take care of yourself.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at wisconsincu.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Tammy Baldwin's record is radical and dangerous. Baldwin voted to let boys compete in girls' sports, and she co-sponsored a bill to force women to share locker rooms with biological men. Tammy Baldwin also has a secret. She spends her time in D.C. and New York, where her girlfriend is a high-end Wall Street advisor, but Baldwin refuses to disclose their assets. The press says her actions raise serious ethical questions. While Tammy looks out for herself, she's left our southern border wide open, leading to deadly fentanyl and criminals across Wisconsin. And under Baldwin, inflation has soared, costing us thousands of dollars per year. 25 years of career politician Tammy Baldwin is enough. She's too liberal and too extreme. The better choice is Eric Hovde, endorsed by President Trump. Eric Hovde for U.S. Senate. Fix Washington PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FixWashingtonPAC.org.
Joining us now is Matt Fryer, technical agronomist at Koch Agronomic Services. Matt, what happens to nitrogen between fall and spring?
Regardless of what source of nitrogen we apply, nitrogen is going to work its way to nitrate. And nitrate is prone to a bunch of different loss mechanisms, meaning that nitrogen may not be available to the plant. And so between fall and spring, however, assuming the grower applies the anhydrous when soil temperatures are 50 degrees, that conversion process happens really slowly and stops completely at 32 degrees. At that point, that form of nitrogen is in the ammonium form.
Gotcha. What else can farmers do to protect their nitrogen this fall?
A really good common practice is to use a nitrification inhibitor for any fall-applied nitrogen like Centuro. We need a proven nitrification inhibitor to really protect that investment. You know, nitrogen's a large spend on the farm, and we've got to use a product that's proven and stabilize our nitrogen so that it's available to the crop the following spring.
Okay, and the right rate on that nitrogen stabilizer really matters, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, how much of that active ingredient that's on the finished fertilizer is really important. You got to have enough of that active ingredient to compete with those enzymes that are responsible for the conversion process.
All right, so how do the products that Koch Agronomic Services offers, how does it measure up on those active ingredients?
Koch Agronomic Services goes through great efforts in our research every year with third-party researchers and university researchers to prove that our products perform in the field. You know, our products have a really high active ingredient load in them to make sure that they perform even in the harshest field conditions.
Excellent, Matt. Thank you. That is Matt Fryer, technical agronomist at Koch Agronomic Services. You can learn more at Koch, K-O-C-H, agronomicservices.com.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at theagmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
In the morning, you're coffeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with you on AgriTalk. AgriTalk. Chip Lorre is here as well. Great conversation with Pete Meyer from Muddy Boots
Smokes
Ag today. Lots to unpack there. I would love to be able to run down the bullet points of that entire conversation, but there's so much in there, Chip. There's no way we're gonna get there.
Bottom line, I think, is this. Okay. The supply side situation on soybeans in particular, you know, he just said, listen, there's a dollar downside risk in this market. Could we take it to 880? The other thing that and then on corn, you know, the one thing that kind of made me go, geez, was the 95 million acres. For 2025, it really doesn't matter what's going on with the inputs at this point because the economics are favoring more corn over soybeans. People give ranges all the time on AgriTalk about, you know, corn's probably going to trade between $4 and $5. Okay, thank you very much. Between $4 and $4.30. He gave us a 30-cent range on it. Anything above it is noise. Anything below it is noise.
Yep.
I found that very interesting. If we do take beans to 880, maybe it pulls corn to 380, 385, but it's just noise.
Yep.
You know, $4 makes more sense.
What do you mean by just noise?
Just noise is you're not doing anything to the demand. You're not doing anything to increase demand below $4. And this is how I would take it. You know what?
Yep.
Okay, maybe we probably should ask Pete, and I will. I'll follow up with him. But to me, this is what it means. You're not going to do anything to increase demand below $4. You're not going to do anything to slow down demand above $4.30. You know, if you take it all the way to $5.30, yeah, you start to take a few more bites out of the demand side of things. But you're not going to change the balance sheet that much. So... Mm-hmm. It's a tight range. It's a tight range. Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about Brazil. As I understand it, I didn't see it, but as I understand it, we did get a
a question about deforestation in Brazil. I had just a short little hit on something that I think can get us there in the news this morning we didn't get
okay.
to. Brazil is reportedly pressing ahead with plans to track its cattle herds as the world's largest beef producer contends with international pressure to prevent deforestation caused by commodity production. I believe the question was what do prices have to look like in order for Brazil to decide, you know what, it's no longer economically viable for us to continue to expanding into the forest zones with our fields, with our herds, our flocks, et cetera.
Well, in the Cerrados, it's not all Amazon forest that they are
sure.
developing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
There is pressure internationally for them to dial that back a little bit. Just the question is, what form does that pressure have to take in order for them to actually do it, you know?
Yep, and it's probably policy-driven more than anything. Now, it's a couple of things stemming off of this. It's not that long ago that I think the bean market was trading on the idea that Europe was going to implement its new rules that it couldn't do any imports from countries that couldn't, that were expanding their land use into mm-hmm. forests.
I remember
okay,
that.
Okay, yep. So in other words, what Europe was saying was, well, we're probably just going to import beans from the United States, not from Brazil. Okay, that mm-hmm. is a very simplistic conclusion to make from that. So there's that. We need to talk about the deforestation from that angle. And then the other thing, geez, the cattle guys are out there right now going, see, I told you. That's why they want the electronic tags. It's not in case something gets sick and we need to track back. It's because they want to be able to control the herd. And the only way that they can do that is with the electronic tags. Mm-hmm. So this is, I mean, it is opening up cans of worms all over the place, which is good to do on a Thursday afternoon in front of tomorrow morning's free for all.
Absolutely. You betcha. Yeah. And then if it gets too hot, you know, Friday afternoon's almost here, baby. We'll go home. That's it.
That's right. That's right. I feel like we're setting time bombs out there right now to go off just tomorrow morning.
These are the times we live in, dude. And then, so then you talk about, okay, well, the West and Europe and those folks are saying, hey, Brazil, you got to take it easy on your forests there. Here comes China knocking at the door with the Belt and Road Initiative. I keep circling back to that today. It keeps kind of coming up. It was in the news.
And BRICS.
But if they can sell their stuff to China and China doesn't care if they have forests or not. I mean, you can put as much pressure on Brazil as you want, but if they're selling beans and doing commerce with China, they don't care.
It's a big old changing world. There's no doubt about it. It took Brazil, you know, you go all the way back to the mid-90s, and people were asking me, when's Brazil going to take over the U.S. on bean production? And I kept saying, you know what, it'll take them longer to do it than what most people think. And it did. It did take longer than most thought. But boy, once they did it, and once China started to support their efforts in more ways than one, I'm talking about infrastructure development, look out, look out. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for October 30th through November 3rd, above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation across the entire Corn Belt. And when we jump out to the 8 to 14 day, November 1 through the 7, above normal temperatures, above normal precipitation across the entire Corn Belt. Thank you so much for listening. Today's a great day on AgriTalk. Come back tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all coming your way. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Morgan, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer.